grew up in a Catholic family who loved Our Lady. So I grew up knowing that my name was Immaculate, which was named after Immaculate Conception. I don't remember in my family where we ever went to sleep without praying. And my father would wait for everybody to come to their knees. So we would say our Catholic prayers, like 15 prayers every single night. And one morning, I will never forget, my brother came to my room and he gave me the news that the president of the country was killed that night. I literally remember jumping out of the bed and I told him, they're going to kill us. He said, why? What have we done? I think he knew also it was just hard to accept it again. Why would anyone want to kill somebody who is innocent? So I knew that. And two things prepared us. I remember a year before the genocide, there was a radio where journalists, they used to act like they were drunk. And then they would say things like, one day we are going to kill that tribe. One day we are going to kill them. They are not human beings. And I remember thinking, why nobody's doing anything to stop that? Another thing prepared us, it is actually something much more beautiful, is the apparitions of the Blessed Mother. Our Lady appeared in Rwanda in a place called Kibeho. And one of the things she said was that a terrible thing was going to happen to a country if we did not come back to God, if we did not come to love God, practice the commandments of God, as simple as that. She even said, make prayer group in every village and pray the rosary together. If you do that alone, you pray for the peace of this country, what is coming will not happen. So today, anytime I think about that, I'm like, what? We could have changed everything just by the rosary. Even today, I could have had my parents. Sometimes we take things lightly. When things are going well, sometimes we just don't take it seriously. But I know how serious it is. So she showed the kids people killing each other with machetes. She showed them with hordes of dead bodies, a river of blood, exactly what happened 12 years later. Our Lady have showed it. And the kids used to cry and say, this can never happen here. We are peaceful. It's a beautiful country. We love each other. And Our Lady said, there is a lot of hatred in the hearts of people. But even that, you can change it just with your prayers. And when my brother told me, I remember thinking, this is it. I went outside and I met my parents. And we find out right away that they have already shut down the borders of the country. No one can go outside. They told us to stay home. Oh, you can only imagine when they said stay home during COVID. I was like, is it starting again? Because that's the first thing they did. Stay home. Don't move. So we stayed home. And then I remember about 2 hours later, BBC reported 18 families that were killed. So the soldiers were going home by home to kill the main people who were challenging their politics. People started to come home asking my parents what to do. I'm really grateful to have met my parents. They were people who loved everyone. They were people who practiced their Catholic faith really to the letter. Every evening, my dad would go home by home, just asking them how was the day and what is going on. And he would come home and start to say, okay, this person is sick. They need money to go to see a doctor. Or he would say, oh, I was with this family. The house was leaking. They don't have any money. So I'm going to gather other men so we can rebuild the house. It was just like being good Christians. But when the genocide started, everybody was coming home, asking my parents what to do. So one of the last images I remember of my father, he held the rosary in his hand. So he spoke to everyone who have come to him. They were from the door of my parents up to the soccer field. And he spoke to people from different religion. He said, if it is a matter of a small group that is trying to hurt us, do not be scared. We will defeat them. We are many. And then he said something. However, if it is a government that planned this, I cannot lie to you. They will kill us. And I remember thinking, Dad, you just don't tell people how they're going to die. And then he said, however, even if it was a government, let's not be scared. Let's take this as a chance God is giving us to repent our sins so we can go to heaven. It was the first time I saw somebody who is about to die and who is joyful and who still believes in God. So that moment really grew my faith a little bit somehow. After that, they were quiet, repenting. And I was doing the same. I was thinking, okay, anything I could have done, please God, forgive me if this is it. Everyone was quiet for a few minutes. And then after that, everyone started to talk. My father came to me. He handed me the rosary he had and he asked me to go to Haiti, the neighbor. It was not this one, it was red and white rosary. And I remember when he handed it to me, I heard words he didn't tell me. Not loud, but in my heart, it was so clear. It felt like my dad was telling me, I won't be here anymore, but whatever you need, you know what to do. You go to her. You ask your mother. You ask your father. Through the rosary, they will give you what you want. And in my heart also, I was fighting that. I'm like, no. We're going to see each other. Don't you see? We are good to people love us. We love them. Why would anyone want to hurt us? However, I took it. And against almost my will, I remember I had a scapular. I always had it. And something was like, give it to your father. And I gave it to my dad. Again, really with a certainty in my heart that I was trying to tell God, my father will die. Take him to heaven quick. And why did I do that? Because we have had wars before against people of our tribe. And before they killed men, they killed fathers, not young children, not women. So a part of me was like, just in case he's the one who's dead, at least he can go to heaven quick. So I gave it to him. He took it. Those were the last words we exchanged. So I went to the neighbor. I told him what my parents told me to come there. He was from the other tribe. And I have to say, not everyone was bad in the other tribe. It was a government using the words we. So then people can feel like we are many. We hate you. We're going to kill you. But it was many people were not for that. Sadly, it was a time when the good guys had to look down. They can't say what they stand for. But the bad guys were showing off. And they were so loud. So anyway, I went to the neighbor. And I told him what my parents told me. And I remember he took me, put me in one room. And the next morning, he came to look for me and took me in the middle of the night with flashlights and showed me this tiny bathroom in his room where I didn't even think there was a bathroom there. And he said, stay here. So he came out. He went to bring other people. But before he brought other people, I started to complain. What am I going to do here? I mean, it's 3 by 4 feet, 1 meter by 1.5 meters. It was too small for me. Where is the table? Where is the bed? I'm complaining. I mean, when I think about it today, 3 days before that, I had a scholarship in college. I had brothers who protected me and loved me, my parents. And 3 days later, I'm in a bathroom. You know, you just realize that it really have caused me to be grateful more than anything about everything going on today. Because we think tomorrow is ours, but you really don't know. And again, this is not to scare us, ourselves, to say like, oh, tomorrow is going to be bad. It might be great, but don't skip today. You know, don't skip the moment just to see something to be grateful about. So then, as I was complaining, the man came back with 5 more women. Later, he brought 2 more women. We became 8 people in 3 by 4 feet. And so funny, when I thought it was too small for me, now I started to find a place for others to sit. So the youngest was 7 years old. Others were teenagers. I think the older were 55, and we literally had to have the young child on top of us. She had to move from one person to another. And the man told us not to speak to one another, not to make any noise, not even to flush the water of the bathroom until somebody else is flushing the water in the next bathroom. He told us that he would tell his children that he lost the key of the bathroom. So we had to be absolutely quiet for our sake. So we sat there. The first day went by, second day went by, and I started to develop anger I never thought was even possible. Actually, I had 3 bad, horrible emotions. I was really like a tsunami. Anger. Oh, I would be angry. How dare they do this to us? When I come out, I'm going to be a soldier and train my body and just like blow up the whole country. Things you can't even really make. But in my body, I did them. And I would be sweating out of anger. My heart would be racing out of anger. My blood would be running out of anger. And I remember one time I'm like, nobody's touching me. But look how my body's acting. How can anger affect you? I'm sweating. And I'm breathing hard just out of anger. This is bad. You know, I just thought it's my thoughts. And then I would move from that to fear. What can they do to me? What if? What if they find me? And fear hurts differently than anger. But it was also overwhelming. And my stomach would be burning out of fear. I would be trembling out of fear. I'm like, what is this? And again, to think just the thoughts. And then we move from that to impatience. I can't take it. I cannot stay in this place for 1 more second. But I can't change it. I'm here, I'm stuck. And yet these emotions are killing me. I remember in the beginning, I would start Our Father, I would not even finish it. Out of anxiety, self-righteous, how dare, my anger, Hail Mary. Nope, I can't finish it. Then the worst thing happened, which I think was actually maybe the best. One of the messages Our Lady used to give us in Kibeho, she used to say, be grateful even for your suffering. Open your heart to learn what God is trying to teach you. Because through suffering, you learn so much, and many graces are given through suffering. You know, I'm like, how is that possible? But I have learned so much from suffering. 1 week later, the man who was hiding us, he came to give us food, which he did every day. He would come and at night, and he would bring a plate of the food they threw in the garbage. I mean, this is what he can afford to give us. And he would bring one plate, and we just have to close our nose and eyes to be able to eat. And then I remember I grabbed his foot one time and asked him if he can put a radio outside so we can hear what is going on in the country. He was kind. He put 3 different radios outside. One in his living room, one outside of the bathroom where his guys, like who worked in the house, his children were. And I don't remember where another one was, but it was 3 channels. And I couldn't believe what was going on in the country. The leaders of the country have given order to kill everyone of our tribe. One man who was a father of one of my girlfriend from high school, he was on radio and he was a government minister. He said, don't forget children. A child of a cockroach is a cockroach. Don't forget older people. Even if you're older, a snake is a snake. I'm like, what is going on? How can these people do? There was still in my heart something maybe naive, but something was still in my heart like, maybe they don't know I am innocent. If only they knew I was innocent, they would not be able to do that. But when they say that, that's when I said, okay, so this is a war between good and evil. This is not just a normal war. And that's when I started to believe my instinct and to listen to the voice inside. So they gave order to not only to kill people who have run to stadiums, to churches, but to search every home to see if anyone was hiding. And I remember one time I was stretching and I saw from this tiny window of the bathroom something I thought was 1,000 people, but there were 300 to 400 people we found out. Men from my village, people I went to school with, people I can call friends. They were dressed with in banana leaves, you know, to try to look like soldiers, like they're fighting, but they weren't fighting nobody, especially in our village. They were just killing innocent people. They had all kind of arms, machetes, they had guns, they have grenades over their bodies, and they came running, really quiet. And then they started to search everywhere and screaming. I just knew that my life was over. They were going to find us now. This was a 4-bedroom house. How in the world did they miss out one door, a number like that? And I remember I started even to think, how do you die? Is my soul going to come out of my body? Am I going to see Jesus? Am I going to see Mary? How does it happen? And then how is it going to be? They're going to keep me for weeks, days, and put a knife in my back, shoot me? What is going to happen? But in that moment, to wait for them to find us, to catch me, it was eternity. It was torture and agony. And I remember I started to feel like I had 2 voices over my shoulders. These voices were nothing too strange. The voices we feel when we are facing a challenge. You know, do it, don't do that. You can feel them. It sounds like you, you know, being reasonable, trying to take this side, this, you know, the other side. A part of me was saying, open the door, end the torture. Why wait? And that was reasonable. Why wait for them to catch you when you can just walk out and die, since you're going to die anyway? And then there was another voice in my heart. Don't open the door. Ask God to help you. Remember God, who God is. God is almighty. Remember, because all this time I thought there's no chance. It's too late to even pray. But if God is almighty, it means he can do anything. And what does anything mean? It means even if I shoot you, the bullet might not go through you. Oh, you know how beautiful it is to believe, to have faith. Like, people who are really have true faith, they're the happiest people in the world. Like, but any moment God can rescue, there is always a chance. There is always hope. It's never like, oh, it's too late. It's too bad. Pray. You don't know what God can do. The God who parted the water, he can do anything. And I remember in the spirit of a second, I had to choose what voice to listen to. Because truly in that moment, I wasn't even sure if God existed, look, they're killing children. Why would you believe that God can even be there for you? Kids who are more innocent than you, who are not sinners, why would he even hear you? Why, after all, these people are being killed? And that, again, felt reasonable. And another part was like, well, you talk to God. Don't worry what other people are talking to him. You just do your part. You discuss with him. You tell him what you want. You don't know what is in the desire of other people's heart. And I remember turning to God with every cell of my body like I never prayed in my life. I begged God, if you are there, if there's anyone who created all this, the moon, the stars, this earth I'm standing on, if there's anyone who controls my breath, I am begging you, just give me a sign that you are there. And if you are there, I promise you, I will not question you again. I will just pray. I might not understand everything about you, but at least I will keep asking. And in that moment, I remember asking God, if you can hear me, you don't have to talk back, but at least let me ask you a sign that you heard me. Because my question was not about being saved only, being to survive that moment. It was also, I wanted to know who did it. Because if God is real, then I can go back to him tomorrow. But if it's just luck, you can't go back to luck. You know, like, oh, do another luck? But you can go to God and ask him, please, I need you again. So I really wanted to know, did you hear me or was it luck? Are you real or are you not there? Like, just one moment, just show me that you are there actually. And I remember asking God, if you can hear me, don't let the killers open the door of the bathroom. And I remember telling him, you can save me so many ways, but I don't want to look in their face. I remember one of them screamed outside and he said, he have killed 399 cockroaches. And he said he wanted Immaculate, specifically, to be the 400. And this is a man I went to school with. So I'm like, I don't want to look in their face. I don't want to see their hatred. And when I asked that question, after that I fainted. I didn't hear anything. And I know I fainted because when the man came to open the door, I thought they found us. I thought it was 5 minutes away. And we were all like this. At least we never talked with the ladies, so I never knew what was in their mind. But I was just like this. And then he came and opened, and we jumped. We looked at him. He said, oh, you are still like that. They left a long time ago. What? It was 5 o'clock. They came 11 o'clock in the morning. So then we started to breathe. He's like, oh. Anyway, he told us what happened. He said there were 300 to 400 people. A bigger number made a circle around the house so no one would jump out of the window. Another number went in every room. Under the beds, in the closets, they went in the ceiling of the house with flashlights, on the roof of the house to make sure no one was laying there. And they found people everywhere. In the whole country, these government leaders, they had made groups of like 300 to 400 people in every village, paid by the government just to do this evil. The man told us they went everywhere, didn't find anything, and they even opened suitcases to make sure there were no babies hiding. And then he said they came right to the bathroom. He said, I was shaking, I was sweating. They could have looked in my face, but somehow they didn't see it. And one of the killers touched the handle. And before he pulled, he looked at him and said, you know what? We trust you. You are a good man. You cannot hide these people. You are one of us. And they turned around and they left. When the man told us that, the shocking part of my life was not, oh, I made it. It was, God is real. What did I think before? I think God was just an old man who lived behind the sky with a long beard, who come to smack you when you do wrong and goes back. I read the Bible, I prayed, but somewhere maybe I didn't believe fully because I never believed in God as I did in that moment. And I remember telling him, I might not understand everything about you, but I truly believe in you. And you love me. You are my heart. You made me. It was such a joyful moment. Then came a scary part. I started to think, wait, if God was able to hear my prayers without me opening my mouth, what else can he hear? That means he sees my anger. He sees my hatred too. Like, he knows the plans. If I'm capable, I will go out and also kill. And I really started to feel ashamed of my anger and forgiveness towards these people. But what do you do when people are doing this to you? So I thought, well, God understands. But I was scared to know that he can see in my heart without me opening my mouth. But again, that the catechism, that what we know, But that made me started to be honest to God. So I had the rosary my father gave me. Now I had a new fire. I started to pray, really praying, not before with my anger, just starting a prayer and then stopping it. I would pray because I knew who I was talking to. I knew he was there. And I would tell him everything going on. Oh, that this is going on. Why? You know, I know you are there. I don't understand, but I know you are there. You know what is going on. And I felt God was talking to me too. There is heaven. It doesn't end here. Even if people die, dying is not the worst thing. Because if you believe now, there is paradise, and paradise is way much better than living here, even if I didn't want to die. But I started to be sure now there is heaven, and heaven is a paradise. And if you compare life on earth, even if it's 100 years, this is like a blink in a lifetime. It's like a little dot on a map compared to eternity. And I started to question myself, why do I care about this more than this? This is better. And for those, as the Bible tells us, who love God, you start living heaven on earth. You can have joy and peace. I'm like, what is that? And then I remember asking God, okay, what do I do now? That I believe in you, there is heaven, and we pass through earth, what do I do now? And I felt like God was pointing back to me on the Bible. Well, I gave you commandments. And I read the commandments. It didn't feel hard to follow until I started to read about forgiveness. Oh, every line in the Bible, it seemed like it was speaking about forgiveness. Love your enemies. I'm like, how? How? Why not love my friends? This is easier. It makes more sense. Forgive how many times? 70 times? What? Is this what you want? I'm like, I can't. They are killers. They are bad guys. They need to go to hell. And I'm fighting. And then I feel like God was like, why don't you just pray? What do you do when you believe in God? Pray insistingly. That's what the Bible says. I'm like, okay, at least I know how to pray the rosary. And I remember praying my first rosary. I felt something strange. Peace. Peace. I'm praying the rosary. They're looking for us. Oh, by the way, they never stopped looking for us. The time I counted, they really came to their house to search, were 8 times. And every hour was back and forth. They're singing outside. You think they're coming. You feel you are dead and sweating. And then they will go. And then they will come back the same area. And then they will not come to us. So every hour it was just like waiting for them. And pain, I can't even put in words. So I started to pray and I felt peace. I'm like, how is this possible? I still believe the same thing. Nothing put me to sleep. But there is peace in my heart. There is serenity. And that is the promise of Our Lady. Pray the rosary for peace. I said, okay, let me pray another rosary. If this is how I can feel when this is going on, just by praying this rosary, let me pray another one. I ended up praying the rosary all day. One time I counted how many rosaries that were taking the whole day. I prayed 27 rosaries every single day, from morning until night. I mean, that was the only time I can have peace. And me not having peace, it was bad. It was trembling. It was thinking every second, they're going to come to cut you in pieces. It was just not livable. I'm like, okay, this is the only time I can live. Let me pray the rosary. I prayed 27 rosaries every single day, and I would fall asleep. And after time, I got used to the rosary. And then I said, oh, the bad voice is even finding me, even when I'm praying the rosary, because I'll be thinking about them, and yet I'm praying. You know how sometimes we get into the routine and Hail Mary, but you're cooking a meal home and the conversation you are reviewing with your friend. What is going on? I'm praying. And yet my head is thinking about something else, which was fear and my anger. I will kill them. I will fly planes. I will do this and that. They're going to kill you. They're going to find you. What am I going to do? And I remember, I never heard clearly a voice beside dreams. I never heard a voice, but a part of me, something in my heart was telling me, pray with your heart. If you pray with your heart, the body voice will not find you. And I remember even fighting with the same voice inside, but how do I pray with my heart? I am praying. This is me. This is my heart. And it's not working. I'm still hearing. I'm thinking about other things. And the voice in my heart was like, mean what you say. Mean it. And hear yourself say it. Because sometimes we say things like, which Hail Mary were I on? When you go away, just come back sooner, quicker. You know, because people will always be distracted. But as long as you can catch yourself, come back sooner and hear your words and mean it. Don't say what you don't mean. I'm like, okay, fine, let me mean it. And I remember when I started just like mean it, everything changed. How I felt, everything changed. But especially I want to share what really brought me to forgiveness. Because I would not be here if I did not forgive the killers of my family. Truly, I would have tried to do something stupid, you know, to try to hurt other people. They would have killed me. Because again, you know, unforgiveness is a liar. It makes you feel, do things that you think like I will get away. Oh, situation will get better. How many people would I have killed without them killing me too? You know, so my anger was taking me to places that were not reasonable. Praying the rosary, one part really blocked me, especially when I was starting to pray with my heart, with every word, our Lord is prayer. I remember just starting, our Father. I'm like, what do you mean our Father? If I say that and I mean it, that means the Father of everybody. And I cannot say that because you are not Father of the killers. And I was stuck right there. What do I do? I feel like something started to explain to me. And that really, oh my gosh, how I wish to just encourage people. Ask God a question. Not as someone is questioning him like, oh, you're not capable, you can't do that. More like, I don't understand. You know, and I realized that's what Our Lady did. In a joyful mysteries when Gabriel came to her and said what God wanted to do with her. I'm like, how is it going to be? I've not known man. She was asking. And the angel explained what was going to happen. So I realized there's a difference between that and when you are doubting God. How can that be? He can't do that. So the moment I started to ask questions, there was always an answer that came. Either, and to this day, sometimes come from another person, another speaker, something I hear, you know, a program on YouTube somewhere, or a book I'm reading. I'm like, oh, that's what I've been asking for. So that time was just coming from my heart as I was asking. I'm like, how is it? How can you be their father? And I felt like God was talking to my heart. The same way your father have children, if one of your brother does wrong, does your father stop being their father? Actually, your father who is a good father will worry about the bad one more than even the good one. I'm like, oh yeah, that's my father. That's what he's supposed to do. Because of course, if he doesn't do that, he won't be a good father. And then what do you think Father God will do? Because in the Bible, our Lord says, I love you more than you love your children. So what does it mean? Because, and I realize even that sometimes we want our own God. We want to make him who we want him to be, not who he is. It's not about how we feel, we like it or not. This is who God says he is. And this is his character. I had to learn who he is and seek him to understand him, not just to suit my feelings. Like, oh, you're right. You say in the Bible, you love people more than we can ever love our children. Even if a mother will forget its child, you will never forget us. So if you are that kind of God, I can see you hurt. You're hurting over the bad guy, but you're still their father. I'm like, okay, fine. And I started again, our Father. Oh, with humility and also just broken heart for him who is now suffering, for his children who are risking to go to hell. And I kept praying, listening to everything, just like changing my heart. Until I reached this part, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. I couldn't say those words. What? Forgive as we forgive? No, I can't forgive them. Because I thought it was just impossible even to forgive somebody who is killing your mother, your father, your brothers, who is looking for you and who is not done yet. It wasn't somebody who have done it. Many of us will try to forgive somebody who did it, but it's over. Or who did it, but apologized. So all that was not satisfied in my heart. Nobody apologized to me. Nobody, they're still trying to kill me. But God, when he said forgive 770 times, he didn't give any condition. What am I going to do? Forgive, pray this way. Well, I had a better idea. I started to skip that part of the prayer and I felt better. Until one day, after I got used to that, I remember I was about to skip it. I felt as if somebody was touching my shoulders like, hey, I hope you know our Lord's prayer is not man-made. It's Jesus himself who gave those words. If I were you, I wouldn't try to change his prayer. And I remember one verse that was really helping me too. Like, if you have trust as small as a mustard seed, even a mountain can move if you tell it to move. So I want that trust. But how do you get that trust if you don't trust God? I need to trust everything. I can't pick and choose. For the first time in my life, I understood the meaning of surrendering. I don't know if I had any place to kneel in the bathroom, but this is how it felt like. I went on my knees, put my hands up, and I begged God, if you know how to forgive, help me out. I don't know how. How do you forgive someone trying to kill you and killing your mother? I don't know. And I felt like God was talking to my heart. Give it to me. You don't know how. You don't have to know how to do it. All I'm asking from you is just ask me to help you. I never ask you to do the impossible, but through me, all things are possible. I went on my knees and I begged God, help me out. I put back the prayer as it was, and I started to pray. Anytime I reach that part, I would remind Jesus, I still don't know how. It's up to you now. I am willing, but it's up to you. I kept praying this way until one day. I always tell people, please be careful of what you pray for. Make sure it is good and you mean it. So anyway, one day I remember I was meditating on a part of the rosary when Jesus is dying on the cross. And I started to think about what happened there. And I felt like something was telling me, don't just go through that like it's just air you are talking or just repeating words. Remember, Jesus existed. He suffered. He was on the cross. He had a mother. He had a body. So think about him a little bit like somebody who really you love. I'm like, okay, let me think of him like my father, like my brother, people I love, men in my life I love. And I started to think about, oh, the night before he was agonizing in a garden, sweating of blood. He saw what was coming. I'm like, oh, so you knew everything. And he kept going. And the word that kept coming towards me was, because I love you. I knew what was coming. And I took it because I love you. So you mean I'm not something to be killed, to be rejected as I was? You mean you love me when other people are trying to kill me? Something was just like being alive again in my heart, even if I was feeling bad for him. And then I kept reading about what happened. In the morning, Judas, one of his 12 he chose. I mean, do you know what it is to be betrayed by somebody you love? Somebody you trust to be your friend and is the one who come and hurt you? It hurts double. Judas betrays him and kisses him as a sign, hey, catch him. Oh, I felt Jesus, I'm like, oh, this is bad. It must have broken your heart. And I'm reading again. Pilate, he washes his hands. He said, I find nothing wrong in him. But anyway, go and beat him. You know what it is? Like, I felt like that what was happening to us in Rwanda. I'm like, they know we are innocent. Kids at least are innocent. They know that, but kill them anyway. Oh, and that was so hurtful. You mean, Jesus, you know about this? I'm like, but why didn't you stop it? You are God. I mean, I'm suffering. If you give me a chance, I will stop it in a second. And why did you have to go through this? Again, I felt his heart and his words in my heart, because I love you. I wanted to save you. I wanted to give you a chance to come to live in a paradise with me. If only you can listen to me and listen to my guidance. You love me that much? Again, that was the words that was there a lot, because in my heart, we were rejected. We were the bad things to kill, remove from the earth. And somebody says, like, I loved you to death. I made you. You mean this much to me. And I think is, gosh, people are suffering. They just need to hear this. They need to remember who died for them. So I kept going. Where he fell down, I can see blood all over. Again, in my meditation, my imagination, I felt I was there. I felt like I spent the day with him through my rosary, and I came back in the bathroom at night when I fell asleep. I'm like, oh, this is bad. I was like a friend of him and walking beside him. I felt like he must have been swollen in his face, maybe a little dust in his wounds, you know, maybe a little dry grass in his wounds all over his body when he was falling. This is bad. And now he's on the cross. Have nails in his body. I mean, pinch yourself. It hurts. Imagine what it is. And I remember pinching it. Ouch, this is bad. He had nails in his body and he's innocent. And I remember thinking, wait, I can be going through the consequences of my sins. But what about him? And to make it worse, his mother is right there. If it is one thing I thank God for, it was my mom who died first during the genocide. She was killed first. And why I thank God for this part, is because she did not have to live to hear how they killed her sons. She would have died mad on the street. And God protected her from that. But Our Lady had to be there. She had to endure every suffering, to hear her sons calling to the Father, why have you forsaken me? I do not wish this to any mother to go through this. The more I watched them, the more I felt, you know what? I'm fine. I'm still in the bathroom. I might die or not. I still have a little chance. I am not on the cross, but you're about to die. To this day, anytime I feel pain, I'm sad, I don't have peace, I don't know what to do with the situation, I go to the Sorrowful Mysteries or to the Sorrows of Our Lady. Anytime I'm able to be there for her or to console her or to Jesus, you know, like, oh, you went through that? How dare they do this to you? At the end of the Sorrowful Mysteries, I'm fine. I can be crying for him, but I'm fine. And I will tell him what I went through too, but I'm fine after. I'm like, no more pain. It really, through his wounds, ours are healed. So anyway, I thought about all that and something shocked me and took me by surprise. Some of his last words, when he said, forgive them, Father. They don't know what they do. It wasn't the first part, it was the second. They don't get it. When I heard that, it was as if he was giving me an answer to my question, how? They don't get it. They are blinded by sin. How? Well, I start to remember, there's many sins I regret too. I should not have said that or done that. Why do I do that? Because I didn't get it when I was going through that. The same way they don't get it. And you trying to hurt them, to do evil, to kill them, won't change anything in their hearts. Only if you can pray for them. And another thing God made me realize, He's a just God. You forgiving somebody doesn't mean that you set them free. Like, okay, it's okay now, they can do whatever evil they want because you forgave them. Oh no, God is a just God. God deals with each one of us. If for anything, I prayed out of mercy for them because too bad for you. If you don't convert and you continue to do this, you may end up falling into hell. I felt free just in that moment. I remember feeling like I was like something in me, like almost like a dark thing that was wrapped around me and it left me. The thoughts I couldn't control whenever I was not praying, they would kill me, they would do this, I will kill them too. The worst thing about anger, it becomes obsessive. It becomes like a sickness. You think you are done thinking about it, and all of a sudden you start again, and then I will do this, and then I will do that, and you're sweating, and then you start again. I'm like, oh, I'm tired of my anger. I don't want to think about this. But this time, that thing left me. And all of a sudden, I was free. I can breathe. My body was better. And I'm like, oh, why did I want to be like them? I don't like what they're doing. And yet, I wanted to be like them, to revenge. What is the difference between me and them if I did? So we stayed in our bathroom for 3 months, from April until July. And the war was over because the bad guys who used to think they were going to live in a paradise alone without our tribe, they lost the war. Because there was another group that came into the country of our tribe and the other tribe too, who were fighting from the border of Uganda to rescue the country. The very first night I came out, I found out everyone in my family had been killed. I mean, literally the first hour. I was hoping that they were still alive, maybe hiding as I was. But I found out my dad, my mother, my two brothers, my grandma, my neighbors, my schoolmates, my best friends, everyone was killed. And I remember throwing my rosary on the ground because I felt like prayer was almost too good to be true. What is this? Is it my imagination that it protected me and made me feel good in the middle of fire? Can I even sustain that? Can I pray all day, like every day, like 27 rosaries? I didn't know what to do with that. So I threw the rosary. I'm like, okay, this is real life now. Let me just leave it. And I cried for like 5 minutes. And after that, I felt as if like God was holding me tight. And I felt like he was telling me, the journey of your loved ones is over here on earth, but not in heaven. And you know more than many that heaven is real and is way much better. And your journey is not over yet. And you don't know how long it's going to be. It might be 1 more hour, 1 more week, 1 year, 10, 20, 30, 50 years. But only God knows how long your journey is going to be here. And that really what shook me back. Like, you're right. And I remember grabbing the rosary where I just threw it. And I felt like God was telling me, your life is yours. Just remember you don't know how long it's going to be. And what is yours is moment by moment, how you choose to use it. Either to love or to hate, to be kind or be mean, to uplift, do something good, constructive, or do nothing. But if you choose love, if you choose goodness to do something good, I am with you. And ask me for anything you need, and I will give it to you. And you don't have to ask for too much, because if you are still alive tomorrow, I will be there too. I woke up from my tears, and I took my rosary, and I just started to look around in the refugee camp, anyone I can help. Because I knew that when I die, if I die that moment or not, you know, because the moment will come, we'll die, God will ask me what I have done with my life. And I just wanted to make sure if it was that day, then I have done something good with my life. Then after the genocide, I had to find out what happened to my parents. I mean, who did it? And I found out a man who I knew, he had a group of like 300 to 400 people. He used to come to look for me, and I found out he was in prison. So people used to tell me, why are you smiling after what just happened to you? People were like, you just lost everybody. Why do you smile at all? I'm like, huh? So I told them, well, I'm not angry anymore. I forgave them. Like, oh, you lying to yourself. You, if only you can see them, you will feel angry again. And I started to doubt myself. What if it was just a mechanism of surviving and I maybe haven't forgiven? And then people even made it worse. They said, one day you are going to wake up and be angry and really be sick. You think so? So anyway, I went to find the man in prison who killed my family. And I really wanted to know how I feel. Because they convinced me, if you only see them, or you will get mad again. And I just wanted to be real. I wanted to live whatever I was living, not to pretend that I'm not living, or I'm living this way. So I went to see him. Thankfully, the man who was the head of the jail was a friend of my father, who also have lost his children. So I went to him, and he brought the man. Oh, I will never forget. I was sitting in his office, and he brought the killer, the man who killed. And he brought him. He was a man like many men I see who dress nice, like you, you know, dress nice, have a beautiful family, children, had a great job. And he killed because obviously he wanted to impress the politicians so that he can have maybe higher positions. But now he was in a prison. I still remember his picture coming to me. One foot was really swollen, one leg, and his pants were teared up. And he came like a man who careless. Maybe he have not showered in 6 months. He was just dirty. His hair, his beard upside down, and he sat there. He was just careless. He looked like a man who just had given up his life. And the head of the jail was like, you tell her what you did. And the man just wouldn't say much. And I just remember crying. The moment I saw him coming, it was as if like I heard the words of our Lord when he told me when I was sitting in the bathroom, they don't know what they do. Forgive them. They don't know what they do. I feel like my Lord was saying, do you remember what I told you? They really don't know what they do. Do you think there's anyone who would wish to be in this situation? Why did he then do it? He didn't know what he was doing. Not that we don't know when we sin. We know it's a sin, but we don't know the consequences. We decide to sin, but we don't know the consequences. We don't see what sin can do. And we know. We are told, but we ignore that. We are more attracted by sin. Just like all of us when we sin. When I saw that, I truly felt pity for him. I felt pity for his children. I felt pity for his wife, for himself. So like, how can you? And I remember thinking, thank God I never saw my father in this situation. We have done bad and then living through this. And I really offered him forgiveness. And I remember when I told him I forgave him, he covered his face. He wouldn't look at me. And the head of jail turned against me. How dare? Do you remember what he did to us? Can't you? Do you even care about your parents? And I realized that this man had also lost his family. I remember the journey I went through to be able to forgive. How can I impose that on him and be shocked? You know, this is me talking before I forgive. So I said, look, I don't know what else to do. That's all I have, I can do. He's like, how can you? And he sent the man away. He was just not happy at all. And I saw the man really receiving it. He actually felt like he was shocked. Like, you can forgive me? Can you see any human in me again? But, and I think he received it. And really what was in my heart, I wanted just to tell him, if ever you kids can ever come here, I hope you can tell them never do what I did. I hope that he will also go through his own journey to be able to forgive himself and to change his mind from doing evil to do good. Just that alone can go to his children, his grandchildren. So the head of the jail, this is really the reason why I share this story. A year later, he came to look for me where I was working. And he said, I always wanted to see you again. I'm like, why? I know that time I made you angry for giving a killer and you lost your children. He said, no, I just want to tell you that before that, I used to be so mad at them. And I would come and beat them and sell them. And I would feel better. And then he said, and I would go home. In the morning, I would be more angry than before. Then I was like, this is not helping me. And he said, after you forgave that man, I came back and I wanted to talk to them. Now trying to find out why they did what they did. And the more I spoke to them, I realized some of them were really sorry for what they did. The reason why they did it, to impress somebody, maybe for money, for properties, and others were evil as they were, you know, they can still do it. Others were just so sorry. And with that, he said, I forgive the killers too. And then he came to tell me he had made a decision to revenge his family, his wife and children, and he knew that they would catch him and hurt him too, maybe kill him. But he said, after he forgave, he started to think, maybe I can start a family again. So he came to tell me he had met somebody and he was going to get married again. Anytime we meet, he tells me, that day you saved my life. I'm like, I didn't save your life. God saved you. Who saved my life too? So he's a very prayerful man who loved the rosary, who pray, and now who have a big family, bigger than he had before. I really would love to encourage people to pray the rosary, because through the rosary, your eyes will open. Through the rosary, the graces will be given. Through the rosary, you will find peace, because that's what Our Lady is telling us. And I remember even after the genocide thinking, how can I pray then? Because I can't pray the whole rosaries as I did in the bathroom. And I remember some of the messages Our Lady told us in Kibeho when she was appearing. Pray the rosary every day. It's just one rosary. And when I say one rosary, it means the full rosary. Because one time I remember asking the visionary, does she really mean like the whole rosary or just like one, like a joyful mystery, sorrowful mystery? She became so serious, the visionary. She said, Immaculate, remember when Our Lady is telling us some things, it is for our own good. So when she said pray the whole rosary every day, it's because she wants us to get the graces we need. I mean, in the world, we have suffering. In the world, we have the devil, really. We believe the devil is real too. He's attacking our children, our properties, our lives, our peace, our families, our friendships. And Our Lady said in Kibeho, pray the rosary every day and see what I do. You will receive my help in every situation in your life. How good that is. So, I mean, there is no one who prays the rosary every day who doesn't see the graces that she gives. And you go through a situation and you think, how am I going to do this? And all of a sudden, something happened. So I started a prayer group on Zoom, and soon will be on YouTube actually. And we pray the rosary every day, 7 sorrows every day. We start with that, and then we do joyful, sorrowful, glorious mysteries together. And what a beauty. But when we started, I just love to see this. And this is the reason why we continued. The moment we started to pray together, there is a grace that is given to people when you pray the rosary. But I truly believe there's another special graces that are given when you pray together. One time I asked everybody, I said, did anyone here who have not experienced like a big miracle, not simple, like something you thought was impossible? Everybody said we have all experienced miracles. Some of them, we can't even say them because they're too private. The moment we started to pray the rosary every day, the full rosary every day, miracles just started to happen. We will put a link in the description below so that you can join us. You are welcome. Everyone is welcomed. And to end, let's pray Hail Mary together. Our Lady is amazing and she hears all of us. One Hail Mary can move a mountain. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.